Seven.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Okay, am I to start all that over?
No. Right there, go for it.
Calling the meeting of ANC 1D to order 7:04 PM, November the 11th, 2008. And as always, we have commissioners present, McKay, Bossaman, Scott, and Edwards. And we will proceed with open discussion.
A word of explanation. This is the public discussion period when people can talk about whatever they want to talk about for a limit of maybe 3 minutes.
Sure. Just wanted to come here tonight. My name is Chris Otten. I'm ANC 1CO2 Commissioner-elect. And Jane Zara, Commissioner Zara, wanted me to come by here tonight and get on record about the Franklin Shelter, the fact that it was closed just before the hypothermia season. And all these people rushed out of there. A lot of people still on the streets. It's very cold out tonight. A lot of people are facing death on the streets due to the executive's rush to close that shelter. Yet, there's no intended use for the building as of right now. And there was about $1.5 million put into it in the last 3 years to get it up to snuff as a shelter. And so I visited there today. And she wanted me to get on record. I have documents from a box that was outside the front door of the shelter, and this just goes to show you the incompetency and perhaps the rush to close that building. In the box were documents that I have in my bag, and I'm planning to give the Commissioner Zara with pertaining to homeless folks' intake forms, including Social Security numbers. Also documents about their services and things that they did, emails, printouts with names and everything on them, dates. So some shocking stuff just sitting out in a box outside of the shelter. So I just want to get that on record. And please check out franklinshelter.org and sign the petition to reopen that building for this hypothermia season.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Hadia Jordan. I am the Civic Engagement Coordinator for the Columbia Heights Streetscape Project. I work for Justice and Sustainability Associates. We consult for the District Department of Transportation. And I'd like to thank you for allowing me this moment to speak to your members of your community and to share with you what the Streetscape Project is. It's a project to improve the street, to make improvements to the roadway and the sidewalk, to construct a fountain and plaza on 14th Street across from the Giant area at the Triangle Park. And let's see what else. And to make traffic enhancements and safety improvements. The project area includes Park Road from Mount Pleasant Street to 14th Street and 14th Street from Newton Street to Columbia Road and Irving between 14th and 16th. And I would like to invite you to attend the public meeting that we have coming up on the 20th of November from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Tubman Elementary School, which is on 13th Street between Irving and Kenyon. I hope that you come and have flowers for that. I know that this ANC has been involved in many of the issues concerning many of the details of the project. And at your advice, Commissioner Edwards, I received from Commissioner McKay the resolutions that you had sent to DDOT, and we forwarded to them again. And we would like to encourage you to stay as a part of the project, to give your input to it, and to come to the meeting on the 20th. I have flowers that I would like to pass out. And I have, in addition, just to let you know that there is an Anacostia waterfront project. We have a community information fair coming up on the 15th of November, and that's a citywide That's a citywide project, and I have flyers for that as well.
I just wonder why you're not responding to this ANC's request that you have a separate meeting for the approximately 1,300 residents of the 1,600 block of Park Road, but instead are holding a meeting combined for a short period of time, combined with many other issues, quite a ways distant from this large number of people.
Well, this public meeting is a part of a series of meetings that we will hold monthly, November is one of them, and they will continue through next year through to the end of the project. And these are public meetings designed specifically for the streetscape project and for all of those concerned with the issues concerning that.
I don't think that's an answer to my question, because, for instance, the chief engineer of DDOT, Kathleen Penny, said that the issues on this block are quite separate from those in the other part. And while Mount Pleasant residents may be somewhat concerned with the things over in Columbia Heights, they are very much directly concerned with, and there are 1,300 of them approximately that live on that block, plus many thousands of others that use that block and needs separate attention. And so the question is, how can you keep good faith with us and keep us as part of the process, not just a subject to the process, if you don't deal with our issues and answer our recommendations, which is in accordance. You're supposed to give great weight to our recommendations. We've not received anything about it, and what you're doing seems to be quite contrary to what we've asked. So your request that we remain a part of this begs the question, how could we be part of it when you're not obeying the law and you're not responding to our requests?
Do you choose to respond? Okay.
Well, I really can't answer that any further than what I've already said. Our job specific, now I understand you're saying you want a meeting specifically for Mount Pleasant, for the Mount Pleasant area of this project?
That's right. And the intellectual and rationale was affirmed by your chief engineer, Kathleen Penning.
Okay. Well, we had not been presented with that detail for our scope to have a specific project. But what I can do.
You're only speaking, when you say we, you mean you as a consultant?
Yes, yes. Okay. Only thing that
I believe we spoke about it.
Right. And the only thing that I can
do.
See, let her answer. Don't talk over her.
Only thing that I can do, because I can't make any promises. And the only thing that I can do is to present back to Kathleen Penny and to Mike Jellin, who also leads this project, your concern for a specific, dedicated meeting for Mount Pleasant concerning the issues that affect your area. I can do that and give you an answer. Because if that's what they would like us to do, we will definitely hold a meeting for you.
Yeah. Let me point out that I've been following the Columbia Heights site quite closely because I spent a lot of time over in Columbia Heights. And when the drawings came out, and I discovered that the Columbia Heights streetscape project included everything from 16th Street to Mount Pleasant Street on this side, that came as a shock, a surprise, because it wasn't there when this was first laid out. It's something that was sort of tacked on at the end. And there have been no meetings on this side. There have been no meetings with Mount Pleasant people. And I found the photograph I was looking for. That's the sidewalk on Park Road. And that's not right. We can't have sidewalks which are so narrow that a wheelchair can't make it safely down the road. And people walking down there have a tough time because it's so darn narrow. So we really want to see something done about these things, and nobody from DDOT has been here to talk to us about it. So, yeah, I'm irritated too.
Okay, any further on this discussion? But you will be getting back with...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You give
the microphone. We have any further open discussion?
May I ask if there are people from the Is there anyone here from...
Don't go there.
Are there, is there anyone here from the 3155 Mount Pleasant Street building? If your presence is going to be felt on some of the issues that we actually had a meeting about and discussed several weeks ago, I suggest that you speak to them now, because ordinarily there's not time to do so later.
Tim, you want to go?
That holds for everybody that's expecting to speak on a topic. You do so now rather than wait for us to get to that topic. So, BZA or anything else.
I'm Tim Kopp, next door, 3155. We're speaking on behalf of several people in the building with regards to the library expansion, expanding a conference room. Into the driveway where it exists right now, over the staircase on the side of the building. Just a couple of points we want to bring up, and we received the ANC documentation on some issues about notification and about having that gap being closed off by the conference room. Some of the things that were mentioned in that document were neighborhood safety, development that could be done in that area. So I don't want to go over all those things that were on there. But we want to echo some concerns about the process in which the project has been carried out. Specifically, we weren't notified of any changes to the building until the last meeting, which was the 22nd of last month. And really, it's been the, you know, not having anything known about what's going on. They had a company that was supposed to bring out you know, flyers and notify people in the community. We received no notification. They were fired for incompetence for not notifying people. So that's been one of our main concerns, the concern of trying to get, you know, the interests of the immediate neighbors, the interests of the library, and the interests of the community all to be met and all to kind of go together as we go forward with the process. And there has been some communication between the president of our association, between Greg Nicholas, trying to communicate ways to meet everybody's needs. In going forward, and that's been a real, real important thing for us. In that we've kind of been left out of the loop, and you know, it seems like to be putting into the community and have these projects kind of hatched without anybody knowing, and you find out about them and they're kind of pre-ratified. You know, the concerns that we all have about them are really, you know, they're kind of falling on something that's already been done. The architectural team already has the project as part of their portfolio on their website, so it kind of seems like you know, here's what's going to happen, and you can comment on it, but I think it's enough for a start, and so I'll let somebody else have the floor. Thank you. Unless you have questions.
Hi, thanks for saying that. Actually, we have someone in the crowd today who's been working on the library issue in a dogged fashion. It's Chris Otten. He's right next to you. So maybe Chris can speak to that. I think this isn't an isolated incident in terms of the pro forma community input aspect. So that's what you're basically talking about.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So, I don't know, because Chris has videotaped several of the meetings where residents around the city, Ward 7, Wards 8, 3, 2, West End, you have Tanley,
Yovana Costi of Benning Road. This is a pattern. So, I mean, they were going to sell Benning Road. Now they're not.
That you bring up Benning. After the 22nd meeting we have over there with them, we were approached by someone from the D.C. Library Renaissance project, and she had specifically mentioned the Benning Road. And, you know, I don't remember verbatim what some of the issues were, but that just the proceedings that really didn't take into account the interest of the community and the interest of the neighbors, and a lot of things wound up falling through. And it was kind of her position that, you know, it's in everybody's best interest to try and, you know, she was kind of, you know, felt bad for the library projects, that we want to make them work and we want to get them, it just brings down the projects when, she keeps seeing these things, just like you mentioned, running through with they're coming up.
Yeah, I think some of it is also tying in literacy programs with it and expanding the services. So it's and the Benning Library was an interesting thing, because what they wanted to do was maybe swap the land. So it would be giving away public property, but then getting some property back somewhere else for the public domain. So it's kind of an interesting idea, but no one really knows what's going on over there. So at this point, maybe Chris does.
Let me point out, for the record, obviously Jane is here, and Oliver just arrived, and the time is 7:20.
Thank you. Any further public discussion?
All right, I'll just mention real quick. My name is Chris again, and I'm with the Library Renaissance Project. That was my supervisor, Robin Diener, who you spoke with probably. It's a project that Ralph Nader founded back in 2002, looking at the libraries, how decrepit they've been run, you know, in terms of long-term neglect. And so he pushed with D.C. residents to have an infusion of money put into the library system. In 2003 and 2004, they did that. And with that money, they said, all right, we need to revitalize all of these neighborhood libraries. And they started with Anacostia, Benning, Shaw, and Tenley. And part of the problem here is that we have a library oversight board. It's the Board of Library Trustees. And this is perhaps what, if we can stay in touch, we need to, my role has been essentially to march people before the board and before the council oversight, residents who've been going to these meetings, making positive suggestions, being completely ignored, and then having to petition the board or the council to say, look, this needs to change. We're not getting a lot of help from the council. We're not getting, certainly not getting any help from the board for whatever reasons. And by help, we're just asking for an open, transparent design process. There hasn't been any youth involved in any of these new designs, yet most of the library is dedicated to the youth, which is amazing. So, and the same goes for Tenley, and certainly Commissioner Edwards can speak to this at length.
Can we get back to ANC business, please?
Yeah, I just want to finalize.
Yeah, but I mean, you're having a discussion with another member of the audience, and we're
the commissioners
sort of watching.
I want to finalize this, that even though Benning Library's groundbreaking is Thursday, there's no contract before the council yet on Anacostia, Benning, Mount Pleasant, or Shaw. Actually, Benning will be passed passively in a couple of days. The point is that if we get enough pressure quick enough from the communities, then anything can change, even at this late date. And when you hear that, when you see designs on the architect's website, it's certainly not too late for those to change. And they're certainly getting paid a lot of money to do what they're doing.
Okay, you're at your time limit. Greg.
Before the second meeting of the library, supposedly but I think it was really at the public, because they did not allow comments, but they wanted just Q&A from the architects of what they've already decided. I spoke with Chief Librarian Jenny Cooper, and I said, well, it sounds, at the conclusion of the short conversation, I said, it sounds to me pretty much like you've decided everything other than the color of the carpets and the color scheme. And she said, yeah, that's basically right.
Hi, Amos Tevelo. I'm also in the same building, 3155 Mount Pleasant. And as Tim mentioned, we are representing a couple other people that couldn't be here, Greg Nicholas and Sean Gannon, who have been somewhat involved, or really, as far as people in the building, more involved than anyone else, but they couldn't make it today. I basically just want to echo Tim's point. I think we were at the same meeting as you. I thought that was the third meeting that had occurred, and the first two we weren't made aware of. And this building, if you don't know, is abuts the library. We're right next to the library. So this proposed expansion of the library would essentially come right up to the apartments on the back side of the building, so that for some people it would essentially be like just a sort of wall right in front of their apartments. For other people it would be just sort of more a general obstruction of their view of the street. So that's one of the issues. Another big issue is the fire egress. There's a fire escape on the back side of our building, which, what I've heard from Greg and Sean, the people who couldn't be here today, by law there needs to be a fire egress. And if the proposed building occurs, our fire escape from the building to the street would be potentially cut off. So he's, Greg and Sean have been in touch with, I'm not sure if it's the project manager from the library or someone they met with, and so there's been some involvement since that meeting, which, as you point out, was somewhat contentious. The librarian, the head of the what's her title? Head librarian, chief. Anyway, when the meeting occurred, Greg brought up some of these issues, and the response was sort of somewhat dismissive, sort of, we'll get back to you, we're going to proceed ahead with our plans, and then we'll come back for the fourth meeting and we'll let you know what we've come up with, and then you can have some more input. And Greg was proposing a more sort of inclusive, participatory mechanism where the residents and other people in the neighborhood can be involved in the development of some ideas so that we could come to a common understanding and a solution that satisfied the library's needs and the neighborhood's need and the broader Mount Pleasant, Columbia Heights community's needs, and the neighbors who live right next door. So hopefully something like that can occur. I think we all kind of want the library to get what it needs in terms of the programs it's developing and how it wants to serve the neighborhood. But we also have our own interests in terms of the value of our properties and the enjoyment of living, right next to this proposed ice cube, as some people have called it. I just want to echo the sentiment that we'd like greater involvement and at least a sense that we're being part of the solution, as opposed to just sort of commenting sporadically when big decisions have already been made.
Thank you. This is your time. Anyone else? No one else has any comments? It depends.
It'll be short and
Jane. Okay.
Well, we have a small grants program that will be talked about later today, but I brought some, and I'm going to put them over here. They should take an hour to fill out. They're very simple, and we encourage people who want to apply. Unfortunately, the deadline is November 24th. But it shouldn't take long for you to fill them out. And it's for small community projects, like starter projects, to particularly address the needs of the underrepresented in Mount Pleasant. So theater, arts, science, reading, whatever. Okay?
Jack?
Yeah, we do have people from the Harbor Street BZA matter here. Rather than their speaking now, I would prefer that they speak at the time that we take up that resolution. We will need the permission of the commission to hear from them at that time. So I want to determine whether that permission will be given at that time.
I don't have a problem with that.
I do if they speak at any great length, because we have issues impacting the lives of many thousands of people here, and I'd rather not that we, if they do comment at the time,
that's up to
that
the
we
chair.
Go, that we go to
Commissioner Edwards. I know you're not talking about anybody speaking in great length now. But I don't think that they would speak in great length, but I think we should go ahead, on my opinion, allow them to speak at that time. We have any objections on the commission of them speaking when we get to that point?
I move that we, since we have to, by our rules, we have to actually have a vote to do so. I move that we accord them a total of 10 minutes to be divided by in each way, have off our each side by 5 minutes at that time.
I second that.
All those in favor of each side having 5 minutes, show of hands, please. All right, unanimous when we get to that point. Okay, can we... You took my agenda. You know I got the... Oh, thank you. Can we go on with the Secretary's report, following by the Treasurer's report, please?
Okay. The minutes of the October meeting were distributed October 12th. Are there any corrections to those minutes? Hearing none, I'll take those to be accepted. The Treasurer's report. Any day now, we should hear the results of the audit. But so far... I mean, I took the checkbook down and left it with him for several days, and that was the final step. So as far as I'm concerned, he's just writing it up, and any day now I expect it to appear. That will be interesting. They did review our quarterly reports and approved them without any disallowances, which was really quite pleasing, which brought our bank balance up to $58,879. Now, a certain number of bills which I anticipate paying tonight. In fact, I've already got the checks written. They just need appropriate signatures. $50 for posters, $50 for audio support, $387.50 to Leticia, $277.50 to Ade, $22.90 for time spent by Neil Richardson during the month of October, $252 to Milagros Hernandez for translation of the grants brochure into Spanish. That was through Leticia. I separated out $191.46 to Neil. That was for the food that was purchased for the mid-month meeting, which turned out to be quite unfortunate, but it was a learning experience for all of us. And then finally, $367.30 to Greg, which was for copies and printing. Is there any question about any of these expenditures? Any concern about any of these expenditures?
What astronomical number of copies did we get?
Greg did extremely well on the printing. Greg, would you like to respond to that?
I'd rather you do it. I've been told I talk too much.
Let's see if I believe I have that.
Commissioner Zara and Commissioner Wasserman, thank you.
Here we go. This is Greg's document. And Greg, perhaps you can explain these in more detail. This was 4232 FedEx Kinko's. Well, you're nodding. Would you like to speak into the microphone and tell me that's exactly what it is?
Okay. So there were three copying jobs. The first, immediately after we got the thing going, and so that we could get on the street on the 23rd of October, at least a month in advance, got 100 copies.
One thing at a time, Greg, please. This is for the 100 copies?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. And then...
And they were more expensive because...
And then you have $195 for the printing. This is your 1,000 copies.
That's for 1,000 copies without rush charges or anything because it was the... And the bids for that were up to $700.
This is a remarkable price. It truly is. And then finally there was this one for $138.
And that's for the 500 copies in Spanish.
Ah, okay. Thank you.
So we got 1,100 in English and 500 in Spanish, and there are only about 200, 250 of the English left. The rest have been distributed, and we still have a lot to go. So we may need to distribute more, because I think it's in our interest to publicize this program as much as possible. And only about 100 and or so of the Spanish ones have been distributed so far.
Okay. I believe that's a very good price. So any further question about these expenditures? Any concern about my writing these checks tonight? Then I will proceed. I do want to point out, again, our total expenditures... ask the chair.
What's 703 about?
A little louder, please.
Number 703. What is that?
That's 18 and a half hours by Ade. Where'd he go? Oh, he was, on various projects. I've got that if you want to see the breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, eventually.
I did distribute all of these.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, I'll look at it.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, whatever. I was just curious. It's the research?
Well, maybe Neil could respond to what Ade has been doing.
It's research, right? Just or cataloging stuff, right?
Yeah, Ade has been focused on two primary things this month. The first thing is cataloging the resolutions we've passed for the last couple of years. And then the second thing was doing research on bed bugs in particular. And there was a summary memo that I emailed to the commission a couple days ago, about a page and a half, which kind of summarized what he was doing. So we can go back to that as well.
Okay. Here's his invoice. Okay.
Madam Chair, I would also like to mention to everybody that there are PDF copies of the... of the grant guide in both English and Spanish on our website for downloading. So,
what's the address for the website?
ANC1D.org. And the clicks are on the front page. So just you can just send everybody you know mass emails and tell them to pick it up.
I believe that concludes the Treasurer's report.
So we're on to...
Well, I've got the director's report next, if Neil has anything to say at this time.
Well, I just want to recognize a couple things. I think that it's been a really fantastic month for a number of reasons. Number one, we were able to finalize our grants application, which was a big deal. And I think it's, while it may be imperfect, it's a better application than any of the other ANCs that we looked at. I also want to thank Greg for finishing the website. I think that is one of the most important things we can do, is to have a website where the public can go to and find out information. And I would like to ask the commission to consider over the next month perhaps putting together a web committee meeting and maybe deciding what kind of information we'd like to put on the web. Because, again, I think it ought to be the go-to place for information about the neighborhood in a lot of ways. And I want to thank Letitia next to me for her work, working with Greg and Jane, finishing up the application. And not only did we finish the application, we talked a little bit about it a few moments ago, but we disseminated this in a very deep way. We've had Ade has walked to each of the buildings at one time. He hasn't gotten all the buildings, particularly on the east side of the neighborhood, but he's spent an afternoon dropping off applications. So there's been deep dissemination. We put it up on other forums around the ward. And then I think this translation, it's always difficult to translate a document into Spanish or in any language. There's a lot of different dialects. Every single country in Central and South America have a slightly different dialect, and so we tried to sort of do the middle ground and come up with language that would suit most of the folks in each of the different countries. The other thing for this month, as we focus going forward, there's going to be a resolution that the commission consider hiring an administrator to work part-time with the commission. I'm going to interview at least one person. I'm going to post the job notice if the commission agrees on this. I'm going to post the job notice in a couple of different venues so we can find some good folks to help. We're also going to explore getting legal representation for opportunities to if agencies aren't responding to our resolutions, there may be times that the ANC will want to have a lawyer at hand to ask them why they're not engaging our resolutions or responding to them adequately. We're also going to organize another mid-month meeting, which we'll have to come up with a topic. And there's a number of things, as Jack mentioned, that I think lessons learned from the last one. But the good news is that this was the second one, and the ANC is committed to doing these and giving a really great forum, an outlet for the public to come and talk about anything they want. And I think that's extremely important. We're also going to beta test with a couple agencies to literally engage them directly. Ade and I will be contacting at least two, perhaps three agencies, and specifically ask them what they're doing with our resolutions using the database that Ade's created. And we just would like to find out what they're going to say when we start doing that. And once we have some lessons learned and we have a little bit of experience about how these conversations are likely to go, then we can contact the rest of the agencies that haven't responded to our resolutions. And then we're also going to organize and plan for a grants team meeting to take a look at the grants that grant applications that are submitted. And I would like to remind and ask that the commissioners appoint someone to those teams. I think if we have at least three people, I think that'll be good. I think it would be most appropriate for every commissioner to have someone on there to make sure that every part of the neighborhood is represented, taking a look at these grants. And then just two other small issues that we're going to continue working on bed bug possibilities. This is still an important problem. Not only in our neighborhood, but around the city. And Ade's has already started doing some research and has had some contact with the Department of Health and is looking at best practices other cities are doing to engage this important issue. And then we also, I owe a phone call to the Office of Planning about the small area plan that's been proposed for the east side of the neighborhood. And I want to find out the details of that and report back to the commission.
Jack?
If we're going to have a mid-month meeting and we need to decide right away what it's going to be about, who's going to be in charge of it, and when it's going to be.
I have a question on that food. That I want to know, was I missing when we decided that we were going to have food at the mid-month meetings, and what's the difference in the mid-month meeting than our first of the month meeting?
We had a strategic planning meeting in, I believe it was July, and I think you were absent from that, but we had the rest of the commission. And the mid-month meetings, the idea was that we had received some complaints from folks in the neighborhood that there wasn't enough time for community comment in our business meetings. And so the idea was to create an open forum that might have a focus to sort of attract people, but that anybody from the neighborhood could come and talk about whatever they wanted for basically.
I remember that part. My question is just about the food. Was I missing when this commission decided we were going to have food at the mid-month meetings? Since when I first got on this commission, I said I felt we should have coffee and tea and whatever else over on the side for this meeting, because some people come directly from work to come to these meetings. So that was my question. So I want to know, was I absent when this commission decided we were having food at the mid-month meeting and we have no accommodations for the people on this particular night? That's what's bothering me. And then when I saw that bill that, according to the comments, and I wasn't present, that it wasn't what it should have been or what have you anyway. I just want to know, when y'all decided about the food, was I absent? Because I had to be.
Yes, I think you were.
To be We had, and I must correct you, we had mid-monthly meetings sporadically before this, and we had pizza at one of them when all of the commissioners came. I really enjoyed that.
Exactly. But you know how I am. I don't want these people just sitting right here saying, what? I gotta wait the mid-month meeting to get a cup of coffee? You had to accommodate everybody. I'm for everybody. So that's what's bothering me. But I'll calm down.
Madam Chair.
Greg.
One of the reasons for doing it, having snacks, by the way, not a full meal, at the mid-month meeting is that we wanted to start early, about 6:15, and have people start gathering at 6, and a lot of people then need to have a few calories or something to keep them going at that time. I would be in favor of us shifting and allocating right now. May I make a motion that we allocate $50 for refreshments at our regular meeting, and see if we. The question is whether the staff believe that they can get that without it being too much of a burden.
Well, it's a minor thing. I'm just the only one that's unnerved about it. I'm not trying to make a big deal about it. I don't know if we have to go that
road. Oh, I'm in favor of it.
You know,
so that's why I moved. I made a motion. Let's see if we get a second. Is that a second?
Getting food being brought to the mid-month meeting, I don't think that is really necessary. What we should do is have coffee, and that's it. That money you can use it for other things. I don't think that bringing food is really an issue. We shouldn't be bringing food. We should be only having coffee, and that's it.
Okay, we've got to have more than coffee now. If you do coffee, you got to do tea. Everybody's not a coffee drinker, Jack.
Yeah, after this mid-month meeting affair, I sent out the Attorney General's assessment of what we are allowed to do. And we are not allowed to provide meals, and that is interpreted as saying we cannot provide any kind of snacks that could be construed as being able to be collected to provide a meal, and specifically no pizza. That is, we are allowed to provide refreshments and only refreshments. Now, I have no objection to providing refreshments if we want to do that, but we do have to be cautious about exactly what we're going to set out.
Great.
I went to a meeting of the auditor, and the auditor, which supervises these things, had wonderful bagels with cream cheese and so on. So the big thing is that you just don't have main courses, it would appear, and that's why. And a lot of my constituents are much more likely to come if they have some kind of light snacks.
Okay, well.
So I've made a motion, and I'm asking, is there, I thought it was seconded by Jane.
It got seconded. Jack, did you have some more discussion about
that? Yeah, I think we have to be very careful about this because it is ANC law. The auditor is not subject to ANC law. It is ANC law that we cannot provide meals and that our funds cannot be used for meals. And I sent out the letter, which you should read, which spells out what we can and cannot do. And we should stick to that, which means we provide refreshments, cookies, but really nothing substantial beyond that.
Well, the auditor is the one that enforces it, and the auditor, that in that meeting with the auditor, there was a lot of discussion about it, and it was the reason for a lot of those snacks was the auditor wanted to show what you could do legally, and they are the ones that got all the AG contacts and the like. So I think that shows the outer bounds of where we're at least safe. So I would like to call for a vote.
Okay, Oliver, just the last comment so we can have a vote on it.
Yeah, I think what we have to do is just to go by what is allowed, by what is required, what the ANC should provide. We have to go by what is there than bring other, I mean, saying food or whatsoever. So, as Jack said, within what is needed, let's just go by that.
Okay. Because when I had my personal training with Gottlieb, he did specifically tell me what we could and could not have. So I think we're ready to take this vote. All those in favor in following the ANC ruling on having the refreshments? Okay. All those in favor?
I think we ought to get it in writing, too. Would you put it in writing?
I will. Let me compile what's been said here. My understanding is we are agreed to have a budget of up to $50 a month for monthly meetings, for refreshments, but we will respect the boundaries of the ANC law.
Yes.
Yes. Everybody is in agreement with exactly what Jack just said. Commissioner Zara?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And exactly what Jack just said. All commissioners voting yes.
Yeah. My goal here is to have none of our expenditures disallowed by the auditor. None.
That we're not having pizza anymore. Pretty much.
That's it.
Chips and cookies. And who? Girl.
Let me also add that sometimes some people come in and give us extra food, and there's no restraint on that. It's a matter of what we pay for.
Exactly. Somebody donates something. We have nothing to do with anybody's graciousness.
So one of the ways to cover it is that in the statement that we make to the contractor for food, we just simply put the requirements down, and so that we know it's very clear that that's what we ordered. And if something else appears, then it's not our doing.
I'm going to let that go because you know I want to know why do we have to contract out for cookies and coffee and tea. Child, I can bring that. Contract me out. Okay, wouldn't allow. Is that a conflict of interest? Okay. So I'm sorry, Neil. Did you finish? You still? Oh, okay. So we're. Are we doing community? I mean, community. Lord, committee reports. There are none. All right. Well, we're on to unfinished business.
No unfinished business.
I'm loving this. Oh. So that means we're at new business. Which
do we have any consent items?
We never have.
Dave?
We never have consent items.
We once had 20 of them.
I see seven consent items, number 4, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, and 17.
4, 8, 9, 17. I object. I object. I think these all warrant a reasonable amount of discussion so that we know what we're voting on and our audience here knows what the heck we're voting on.
Okay, so do we have anyone at all? Okay, so we're saying that none of these are consent.
Let me suggest, Madam Chair, that we take the BZA issue so that the people who came here specifically for that issue can speak their piece, see what we do, and then they can go home a week.
Yeah, let's let people that can go home. That's a good idea.
So hoping, then we should have the grants after that.
I'm hoping that 18, number 18 is a consent item.
That was one of mine. One of my seven consent items.
Well, beg pardon. Which one do you mean by 18?
That's look, presentation look at the screen, to the please. Library board.
Look at the screen, please.
18 is different on
it's on this
board.
List.
Okay, first of all, okay.
17 is...
So I will read it if possible.
Excuse me, wait now. You're going way over me.
Okay.
I want to bring it to everyone's attention that the page that Greg gave us and what's on the board here is different with these numbers.
Let's go by the board.
Yeah, we're going to have to go by the board. So where are we?
Well, I asked Jack to add it to the board. Okay. So it's unnumbered then.
Okay, so we at the representation at D.C. Public Library meeting?
Yes.
ANC-1D authorizes Greg Edwards to present his resolutions on the Mount Pleasant Branch Library to the DCPL Library Board at its next meeting.
Is there any? Do I need to get a second on this?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, can we all say we agree by the raising of your hand? Okay, it's unanimous. All commissioners voting yes.
Thank you.
Okay, now can we do the BZA one?
Yeah, well, let me quickly get this one.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim.
Come on. I just need to
keep track of.
Commissioner Edwards, are you having a side conversation that we all need to hear?
Well, I will say it out loud and just
there are a number of groups that have been starting to work together, including the Library Renaissance Project, a group of merchants that around Greg Nicholas, the Condominium Association at 3155. Contacts have been made with initial positive indications from MPNA and Laurie Collins, and as well as some historic preservation people that we can unify in a presentation. And they were looking to the ANC to pass several resolutions tonight that would back that up.
Okay.
Let me proceed, if I may, with the BZA resolution.
Go ahead.
This is addressed to the Board of Zoning Adjustment concerning application number 17833, application to Timothy Lawrence to construct a private garage on an alley lot in the R4 district of premises 1665 Harbor Street Northwest. In its resolution of October 7, 2008, ANC1D advised that the application for variance be denied. But at the hearing of October 28, the Office of Planning recommended approval, and the Board reportedly will reconsider the matter on December 2nd. Resolved that ANC1D advises the Board of Zoning Adjustment again that this application for zoning variance should be denied on grounds of detriment to the public good and an adverse effect on the light and air of the immediately adjacent residence, 1701 Harbor Street. ANC1D further advises the Board that ANC resolutions in these matters command great weight, which requires that the government entity provide a written response which must articulate with particularity and precision the reasons why the Commission or does not offer persuasive advice under the circumstances. Can I have a second at this time? Thank you. And I let's just take a quick look at the rationale. The Office of Planning claimed that this would not include any, would not imply any substantial detriment to the public good. I think its effect on its immediate neighbors is a detriment to the public good, that these neighbors are indeed members of the public. Secondly, the Office of Planning rejects the argument that this would have an adverse effect on light, even though this is a large structure being erected roughly 15 feet away from the windows of the building, of the residence at 1701 Harvard. But those windows face north, which means they never get direct sun, and the Office of Planning, oddly, considers only direct sun to count, which is absurd. Obviously, you get light from indirect sunlight as well as direct sunlight, so this structure would certainly have an adverse effect on the light and air. Third point, Office of Planning argues that other houses in the area have garages similarly located. Yes, they do. But in every other case, the garage belongs to the house. The homeowners of the house are the proprietors of the garage. So if there's a problem, it's their choice. This is a unique situation where the garage is being built by a separate party. And then finally, I quote the legal requirements for responding to resolutions, which is to say, the government entity is required to articulate its decision in writing with particularity and precision. And I really think we need to send that point home so that these agencies don't just wave our resolutions off with a little more than an acknowledgement. And finally, I am concerned that about these complaints that the applicant did not hear from the ANC until September. But the fact is that the original letter from the Board of Zoning Adjustment to the applicant said, advised him to contact the ANC at his early convenience. That was in May, June, July, August, September. He didn't contact us. So it's unfortunate that he didn't. I wish he had. But now he can hardly hold us responsible for his late attention to us. So that concludes, summarizes the rationale, which I will attached to this resolution.
Any discussion?
We've agreed, Jack and I had a meeting on a previous dispute, and I think we reached an accord that in these circumstances it ought to be stated in the record that the screen shows, our written record shows, the complete text, and it is appended specifically by reference in the audio record.
Yes, Greg and I had a problem with this, and I think it's important. That's why I went through this. I don't want to read the whole rationale.
No, but I'm looking for
I want to go through it so that everybody knows that it's there.
So
there's no question about it.
So that we are making, you're making, in introducing this, the explicit statement that there is a, that the full record has, is of,
yes.
is on the screen, and is of, and I note that it is available in writing to any commissioner.
Thank you, Greg. Perhaps now we could hear from the applicant and the neighbor.
Okay.
Who would you like to hear from first?
It doesn't matter.
Well, it does to me. My name is Tim Lawrence. I'm the owner, occupant of 1665 and the legal lot behind 1701. I find it disturbing that I have to speak to a page and a half of a decision, once again, that has already been made by the commission. How am I supposed to address all of those points when I have not been privy to those points that you have made and that you have already apparently been in consent to? This is once again, as with the meeting last month, I show up and you made a motion to move to not even discuss this because you already knew how you're going to vote. So there is a page and a half of decision and rationale there that I have not seen. I gave you, over 10 days ago, all of the reports pertinent to this. If you had come to this decision or obviously been doing this research, I would think it'd be neighborly that you share that with me prior to showing up and force me to speak in less than 5 minutes to all of those points.
Madam Chair, may I quick answer? Because I'm still, number one, I am willing to hear the burden of proof made.
I didn't answer you. Commission, what do you want to do? Do you want to hear both sides out here before we make comments? Are we going to break back and forth with comments?
I think it'd be appropriate this time to respond to the
okay, that's fine, as long as everybody's in agreement.
Okay. Number two, I have not finally made up my mind, so you are reading into my mind an estate that does not exist. So the charge, you don't, I don't think you have evidence for making that charge.
My question is, what does consent mean?
Number three. Jack's proposal has been on our website for a week. So it has been available, and it was distributed on an open site, Google Groups, where you could have accessed it long before that. So the charge that this is now just being made available to you and to the public is incorrect. So I would like to, for you to direct your attention not to these erroneous and incorrect charges, but to your case, so that, because you have the burden of proof, and my mind is open to hear you.
Okay, I accept as fact, if you say it's up there on the website, I did a significant amount of research on the ANC websites in the last month and submitted all of my products both to the public website and to you and Jack, and thought that, you know, again, no, in the last 4 or 5 days, I haven't been up looking for this, but that's fine. Once again, however, with the report I just saw and with the resolution last month that was prepared, a lot of things are stated as fact that are clearly opinion, such as, yes, when you build a wall, there can be lights. That's not direct light. Well, by building something, depending on what you put on that, it could perhaps reflect more light. So by citing that as one of the sole reasons of detriment to the public good, which is the only factual thing in this, the amount of light and air to the residents, that simply is a matter of opinion. It's not a matter of fact, as you state in there. Also, I think it should be noted, which it was not in the last resolution, that not some of the neighbors, but a majority of the neighbors who chose to respond on 10 houses to the east, 10 houses to the west, both north and south on this, so a total of approximately 40 houses with 20 responses, 16 were positive and 4 were against. So that is a majority of those who chose to respond were in favor of this, with 4 opposing.
So if you are going to represent or speak for the majority of the neighbors who have chosen to weigh in on this, you should do so fairly and objectively and cite that a majority of neighbors have chosen to support this project. The two district government offices that work on this, the Historic Preservation Board, they have already approved this project as proposed at nearly a height of 13 feet. The Office of Planning has recommended approval of this project, the staff office. We have, on our own accord and at our own expense, chose to lower the design structure from 12.9 to 10.6, which is the lowest we can possibly do, which would be a total of 4 feet above the existing 6-foot structure to accommodate the concerns of the neighbor, although there has been no dialogue from the neighbor or positive input on possible solutions of what to do with this. So at this point in time, obviously this comes before you because we as neighbors can't come to an accord on what to do, but this lot was legally subdivided prior to 1925. That was a matter of record at the Office of Planning here at BZA. We have a right to construct on that property up to 40%, which means we can construct a garage up to 15 feet in height, that is approximately 220 feet, easily square feet, easily enough for a one-car garage, and take into effect no concern for the neighbors' air, light, or whatnot, and with no need for further approval of BZA or HPRB or anyone. We are trying to do something that is within the public good, serves our requirement, our requests and needs for a garage there, and frankly, don't seem to be getting much fair, objective dialogue in this from this commission. So, again, witnessed by what I saw quickly scrolled there in a page and a half, where you are representing the minority view of one neighbor and four opponents rather than the 16 who proposed and the two official boards who have recommended approval.
Yeah, let me just point out that nothing here is final until the commission votes. You've seen my resolution, but that's just my resolution. Nothing here is final until the commission votes, and this is your opportunity to persuade this commission to vote no on that resolution. I believe the time is it's time to hear from the other parties in that.
We're going to comment at the beginning, though, when the gentleman said that he believed there was consent on this item. Does that mean there's consent?
There is not consent on this item.
Okay, well, it was stated earlier that this item, there was consent.
And we said there was not.
Oh, we were discussing whether
that's a separate matter.
Exactly. That's okay. What we were doing. And you had the time to prove to us, give us all the positiveness of your proposal. Now it's time for the other side. Did anybody have any questions now, or you want to
Ed,
wait?
Would you like to speak? Yes. Sure. Get the microphone behind you.
My neighbor, Lee Chester. Thank you. I'm Ed Schneider. I own 1701 along with my wife, and we still have the same basic objections we had when this first came about, which is an intrusion. An adverse impact on our light and our air, even with the lowered structure that the Lawrences are now proposing. It is 4 feet, 2 inches from our roof line. And from our back windows, it's the roof line will approximately be at eye level.
We have a laser pointer if you would like to use it.
Sure. That's the roof line. It's 18 feet, 2 inches high, with 3.5 feet below the grade of the garage floor that goes down to our patio level. That garage comes out to 14 feet above that patio floor. The northernmost point of our house is right there at the brick planter's box, which is part of the foundation of the building. I did some more accurate measurements since the last time. That is a total of 15 feet, 1/2 inch, from the corner of the garage, from the edge of the garage, and 17 feet from our windows, which are set back from that planter box. If we were constructing, if this lot were ours and we chose to construct a garage back behind our place, the law requires a 20-foot backyard. The fact is, this is not in their backyard. It is in my backyard. There is a lot of light that comes in from the sky, from the reflections of the buildings that are across the alley, approximately 60 or 70 feet away. And it would be a great adverse impact on our property. And also, Mr. Lawrence cites security concerns for his vehicles as the reason for building the garage. And I want to point out again that there were security gates on that fenced-in parking pad. When he purchased it, he chose to take them down, and now is claiming that security is a problem. He can easily just put up similar gates or another type of protection to keep people from coming in to his property on that pad, excuse me, and vandalizing or burglarizing his vehicles. I think that about covers it.
Jack, any questions? Or any, Oliver?
I would like to just find out from both of you whether you could reach an agreement as to how high the garage could reach. Can you discuss it with your neighbor and agree at the height of the garage? Anything acceptable to both of you, perhaps?
It is my wife's and my contention that we would like nothing built there. That is the 10-foot, 6-inch structure that they're proposing is about the lowest, as he said, that he could build a usable garage. And yet it's still 17 feet from our back windows, 15 feet from our house, and blocking off a significant amount of light and air. So in regard to that, I think whatever accommodations have been made from the original design are still, in our view, unacceptable.
Jane.
I guess I just have a couple questions. One is, I'm not really sure why the ANC is taking this issue up. It sounds like the interpretation of an air and light right statute in a court. Do we give deference to BZA? I mean, is this against the zoning? I mean, I'm not advocating for or against it. I'm just wondering why this is a topic for the ANC.
Jack?
The BZA comes to us and asks our opinion on it.
Did they say that it was consistent with the zoning laws?
It is not consistent. That's why it goes to variance.
So this is before that?
The issue here is the owner has requested a variance from the zoning regulations.
Oh.
One on lot coverage, asking for 100% lot coverage instead of 40%, and two on alley setback, asking for just a foot or two less than the zoning minimum.
So in terms of, I'm just not done asking questions about why we're taking it up, because everyone could come to us about all of these things. And I remember Greg had sort of a, I don't want to say holistic, but he had a proposal about a process where we, as an ANC, would not necessarily have to get bogged down. I don't mean to be insulting or minimize the issue at all. It's just about the role of the ANC and on our limited amount of time. Because we could basically be talking about intervening or in every development that occurs in the neighborhood, and I don't think we, as an advisory commission with the problems in the city, have the luxury to do that. So I'm wondering, you know, there's a process that you spoke to about where the ANC would feed in and what the relationship is between us and the zoning people and the historic preservation people, because I really don't think we have the capability of doing this, of offering an opinion that will give sway. I mean, I feel like we're in a tough position. I don't know enough about it, and if it really has an effect on the process, I don't know. It's just, I wonder.
Gray?
The progressive movement that gave rise to these statutes had as a basic approach that these things should not go through the equivalent of superior court, but they should be decided by citizens that will take into consideration a wide variety of local circumstances. So this, we are not a cadet branch of superior court, nor is the BZA. The procedures that I'm hoping we'll consider would screen out from us a lot of the other kinds of considerations about, is this a fair forum, or who struck John, or other kinds of things. But because I researched this, went to other ANCs, spent some time specifically with a very similar project in 1B, and got the actual regulations and the procedures from the BZA. I distributed some of the legal structures onto on Google Groups, and called attention to them last time, saying that I believe the ANC should not take up a case unless there is a specific document that addresses the burden of proof arguments. Now, the person that wants to get a deviation from the zoning law bears a heavy burden of the burden of proof. So someone coming in and saying, well, you're an unfair forum, or that the opponents of letting me do this are just giving their opinion, are not following the requirements of law and the requirements of public policy on this, which is that they must bring substantial, not quite overwhelming criminal, but the preponderance of the arguments must be to establish their burden of proof. If we do not have that burden of proof, which in this case I believe we have not gotten, despite my requests for it, then I believe we should not take up these issues, because they will simply get us in the middle of squabbles and lots of finger pointing. But when people do, when they come in and have arguments about how this will actually benefit many others, how the infringements on the rights of others, which under ethical standards, first do no harm, we've got to respect the innocent, unless they have arguments that show the preponderance of the evidence is that this will be a benefit, a net benefit, not just to themselves, but to many others, then under those circumstances, I think the progressive movement is right that we should be considering it, and the principle is that it should be considered at the lowest level in which you can get a fair hearing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Dave?
As everyone can see, this can be argued from either side. What I do appreciate is that the person wanting to build the garage has made the gesture of reducing the height.
Yes, that was going to be my comment, because last time, in my brief conversation, I was saying, could you come back with another offer or another plan? And I do commend you for trying to do that and get your neighbor to comply with you. We have any further comments from the commission? Any further, Mr. Lawrence?
Yes, ma'am. Real quickly, I would like to concur with the chairperson's comment that this is kind of getting into the weeds, in a sense, of the legalities of this. And Greg, to your question on the burden of proof, that aspect was very well documented at the BZA. There are three requirements. There's uniqueness, practical difficulty, and public good. Public good, arguably, is the one that this commission is probably most concerned with. On the terms of the uniqueness, the BZA commission itself spent nearly an hour just trying to determine what kind of a legal lot it was. Well, it was decided that it is R4, it is an alley lot, therefore we do have the right as owners to build. And then it becomes a question of 40% or 100%, as I stated. So to the uniqueness and practical difficulty. The practical difficulty is that public alleyway which separates our two properties. It's the only one that's still in use in that area. The others have been sealed off. So by building there, putting more lights and whatnot, I would argue that would make it more secure, which is why we got a lot of support from the other neighbors. It has been a historical problem in that area. 2 weeks ago, I had three of my tires slashed in that parking lot. So security is a problem there. As to the public good, as I mentioned, if that is this commission's of the burdens, their biggest concern, as I said, we have the right to build on 40%. We can build a 220-foot square one-car garage there without any variances from BZA, and we already have the HPRB approval to do that. So if the public good argument also weighs into an opinion of light and air and view of the neighbor's house, that argument will go out the window because we can do that anyhow. What we have offered is to bring it down as low as we can at 10'6" and make it an actual public good by cleaning up what is pretty much a nasty parking lot right now. So that is, in a nutshell, the proposal. And I didn't intentionally get into the burden of proof and other things, which is what we did at the Office of Planning, and why the Office of Planning staff report recommends approval of this.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lawrence. Commissioners, are you ready to make a decision on where you stand on this?
Greg. I do not accept the argument that we are constrained to follow the rulings or considerations of citywide bodies. This is contrary to the progressive movement policy that these decisions should be decided at the level closest to the issue where you can get a fair hearing. So I consider that to be an argument to authority, which is a well-known logical fallacy, and it is not going to convince me. The time, despite my pleas, was not spent in actually addressing many of the concrete issues. They have not come before this commission in a way that were easily accessible 2 weeks beforehand, and therefore I think and the statements that this is an unfair forum were initially stated in error, and so I have not yet heard a specific argument that is addressed to this commission, which by law has the right to weigh in on this and be given great weight. And so arguments that we should not be doing that, I think, have wasted the time and has not convinced me.
Okay, Jack.
Very quickly. I don't like getting into these little disputes either. This is the first time I've ever opposed a zoning variance application, because usually I'm in favor of letting the homeowners do what they want as long as the neighbors are okay with it. This is a situation where the neighbor is not okay with it. Now, when a variance is requested, the applicant must show that there is no detriment to the public good, and the neighbor is a member of the public, and it is clearly not to his benefit, nor is there any benefit shown to the rest of the neighborhood as a result of this garage coming into existence. Certainly not enough to warrant the harm done to the resident of 1701 Harvard. I look at that and say, basically, if I lived there, would I object to that structure suddenly going up in my backyard? And the answer is, I would. And for that reason, I would vote against allowing the variance in this case.
Okay.
Ready
for the vote? Okay. How do you want to do the vote?
Let's do a roll call.
Okay. Roll call, starting with you, Jack.
I vote yes on my resolution.
Jane?
I abstain.
Dave?
No.
Oliver?
I abstain. Use the microphone, please.
I abstain.
Greg?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
So motion passes.
The commissioners abstaining?
It's 3-2.
It is
3-1.
Three to one and two abstentions.
Okay.
So it passes.
I like these things being announced. Thank you.
Okay. We have it on record.
May I say just briefly that I thank the neighbors involved, and that there were numerous gestures of some neighborliness, and I think we ought to all thank them for their engagement with this, and particularly their civil behavior. I've seen some ANCs where these things really devolve into awful conflicts. Thank you both.
Okay. God, I'm glad I'm not being paid for this.
If I could suggest one that will be, I think, quick. We have to do something about the performance parking issue. I would like to have that issue taken up next if we could.
Which one was that? The who parking?
Number 8, the Mount Pleasant Performance Parking Pilot Program. I think this will take...
Well, that's consent on my list.
Yeah, I think it's an easy one. I just want to take a quick look at it, if that would be acceptable.
Consent for me, too, for that one.
May I move that we accept this by consent?
Okay, all those in favor on accepting number 8 is consent?
Hooray.
Okay, that's a consent item.
Okay, so Mount Pleasant, we take that to be approved 6-0.
Okay. Did we? Okay, Jane wants to do what she says she wanted to do. Is 4 consent too? Jane wants to do the grants. Can we say 4 is a consent one, or do we need to discuss that one?
I thought the grant program was already approved. We didn't have to do anything.
We don't have to do anything.
It's done.
Oh, I thought I said.
Well,
no.
We?
No. So.
Somebody give Jane a drink. Of water or something over there. Okay, so can we do number 4 as consent, or do we have to
Number 4. We accept number 4 by consent.
I second. Oh, Oliver seconds the motion. All those in agreement that number 4 is a consent item.
6-0. Thank you.
Consent item.
Okay. May I ask that number 1, which was already passed without the why last time. Due to some misunderstandings, which we'll not repeat, be accepted this time with the Y.
All those in favor?
Well,
sorry, Dave.
That is the one of mine, or 5 of these, that I do have a complaint, because there is a complaint woven into the subject. The complaint is essentially no one responds or obeys the law. It's woven into and it diminishes the real subject of the resolution. I say these complaints should be transmitted in a separate resolution, if they are to be transmitted, or with a complaint as a subject, or dropped.
I will accept as a friendly amendment the deletion of the second paragraph.
Let me okay. If I could, just for a bit of order on this. You're making a motion to amend the resolution that was passed at the October meeting by adding the why statement.
Yes.
Has there been a second to that motion?
Someone?
Well, I can't second it because I don't even know where the why is. Or
okay,
what.
It's right on the first top. Page. It's right at the top. Yeah, let's all get together. Let's be on the same page, as it were. This is Greg's why statement. The advisory committee for this study, as revealed in the recent email from the contractor announcing the meeting, appears to be constituted entirely by property owners, a small and highly unrepresentative sampling in Mount Pleasant, et cetera, et cetera. That's what Greg wishes to have appended. We are, in fact, repeating the resolution, but now with this why statement.
Yes.
Okay. When we okayed it at the last meeting, we didn't have a why, we didn't have a rationale or anything. So is it needed?
We had only the text. ANC1D resolved to advise that the D.C. Department of Transportation to upgrade its processes of participation, et cetera, et cetera.
It was handed out in writing but was not projected by a mistake.
It was misunderstanding. In any case, so now the question is, do we wish to approve adding this why statement?
Okay. Do we have a second to... Don't I need to have a second for the discussion?
Jack, in this case, I would appreciate a second from you.
Second.
Okay. Do we have any discussion?
Yes, there is an inference there that somebody knows that the engineers are simply from a suburban environment, but there is no proof given for that statement.
Where is that at, Dave?
Primarily suburban, four from the bottom.
I did. I have spoken to them all at these meetings, and they have said that they come in from the suburbs.
Well, then you should say that you have found out that they come in from the suburbs, not that they just appear to be.
Would you suggest some wording? I would take what you said as a... I'm trying to be accommodative because... I would accept that.
Is that true?
Well, Mark Papa told me that it was true, and he's a subcontractor for this.
Okay. Does it have to be in there at all?
Let me say, in my opinion, Greg, the resolution is perfectly good all by itself, and adding this opens up little Pandora's box of insults and accusations. It doesn't help your case.
Okay, Jack, I
would advise that you leave it as is.
May I respond, Madam Chair?
Sure.
Jack, when we've discussed this over the many months, over the year, you said wait until we saw what they were going to come up with before we passed a resolution. And that at several times, I believe you said you thought that what they were doing was, if not neutral, then perhaps even a negative potential impact. If you would like to say, and then you said we'll put it together, and we seem to be somewhat on an accord, and I have gotten similar opinions from Jonathan Cass and others that are independent that are looking at this. I will accept your recommendation because I thought we had an agreement to try to summarize our experience with this once we've reached a point, and hopefully at a point just before the end so that we could perhaps have some leverage and improve the situation. I'm trying to keep the faith with you in doing this in this way. If it is not, then you and I suggest sit down because we're usually able to resolve our differences in this.
Okay. Well, we need to resolve this right now, right here, now, though. Can we reword this sentence? Okay, Jane, just a second. Reword it, take it out, or whatever we're going to do.
I accepted Jane's suggestion already as a friendly amendment.
How about this one, though? How about if we take out from the all the way down to judgment?
If it wins your vote, I accept. I'm easy. Hey, I'm easy. I'll accept Dave's suggestion as a friendly amendment, too.
Okay, so we're going to take out the part about they don't observe the law.
Am I doing this correctly? Am I taking this out?
You need to finish it up down to the last D dot.
Greg, please pay attention and answer the question. The suggestion from Jane is to take out from the all the way to judgment. Okay?
Yeah, that was Jane's suggestion.
Yes, okay. I accept that.
Okay, he accepts that, so that's being deleted.
Use the microphone, please, Jane. Use the microphone, please.
Do we want to keep in the recurring theme of them not complying with the law?
I will. If it will win Dave's vote, I will suffer to, as a friendly amendment, to have that last sentence removed.
Okay. So from ANC1D to D.
What say you, Dave? Okay.
Are we taking this last sentence out? Is that the agreement?
Yes.
I think it's good to have this mantra that they don't comply. Yeah?
Okay, so. Okay, Oliver, you think we should leave it in there?
Yeah, I think we should leave it there.
Okay, well, we're leaving it in there. Okay.
Just in time.
All right, now. You see how it reads now, Greg? You're in agreement. You agreed with everything,
yes.
Right? All right, so as it is reading right here, on the screen is what we are agreeing to, and that's what we are voting on, exactly what we see right there, okay?
Now, this is a retransmission?
Yes.
Okay.
I am unhappy with that last sentence.
Okay.
I really think that's a serious. We go on about how it hasn't been represented to the neighborhood, et cetera, which is true. All these statements are true. And then you suddenly go off and complain about the ANC. And I'm with Dave. I think that is, that suddenly interferes with your main point.
Well, I'm now counting 4-2 votes. So if possible, I think I would like to keep something in there to poke at them in the same way that Cato was successful with Cartago de Linda Est.
Okay, all the commissioners in favor of the Y as it reads. That's what we're voting on. All those in favor of this, show of hands, please. Okay, we got 4-2. Commissioners Bossaman and McKay voting no. Is that true? Okay.
That's correct. Okay.
All right.
Passed 4-2.
Thank you. Now in Jack's list, I tried to take his suggestion to list things in terms of criticality and then high impact. And
hold your thought for a minute.
Okay.
Jack, is there some kind of indication you can put on there so I don't get confused of the ones we've already done? Is that possible or is that too much?
Maybe just remove them from the list.
Yes. And 4. Where's the one that's about the performance parking? We did that one. Where's that?
Yes.
Didn't
we do
staff position? No, we haven't done that.
Okay. We did. Where's the one about the laundry? We did that one, right?
If we have a consent item and it's really there, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way quickly.
Staff position, Tracy Butler.
Okay, we want to do that one now.
Can someone tell me a little bit more about what this is about?
Well, Greg, I guess that's you briefly.
You may have remembered Neil submitted a suggestion that we get an operations manager. And one of my neighbors suggested Tracy Butler, who has an extraordinary resume and so on, and is in retirement, and she is perhaps willing to take this at, I think, a concessionary rate as a favor to the neighborhood. And I think we should, if possible, take her up on it, and if not, continue to keep faith with Neil and allow him to advertise the position and to fill it.
Could you just take a couple sentences and tell us why we need this position filled?
Because, number one, Neil has lots of other work to do, and he's a bottleneck if he doesn't have time to do these things. And number two, while he's completely worth it and more, we will conserve our funds if we can find someone who can do items that he may have the skill to do, but others do too at half the rate.
Okay.
I believe this is in keeping. I've discussed this with Neil at length, and I believe this is in keeping. And I distributed his okay of this resolution by email a couple of days ago.
Okay, any commissioners have further discussion about this? Oh, wait. Need to get a second. Did we get a second?
Somebody give me a second.
Somebody going to second?
I'll say.
Okay, we have a second. Is there any discussion? No discussion. All those in favor of getting another staff assistant? Okay, we got 6-0. We're moving on up. We're going to be big time in a minute. As soon as we get that lawyer. Okay. So, okay, did we?
May I also, on the possible consent items, resolution and notice policy?
Where is that, Jake?
It's
number 10.
Number 10. Jack and I sat down and settled our differences. We often do if we just sit down and talk about things for long enough.
It's on my consent list.
Yeah, I mean, what's to discuss that? I mean, anybody have any reason they feel they need to discuss it?
Let's take a quick look at it if I can find it here. Oops, here we go.
You may amend it by saying Greg and Jack because I thought it was representing our joint.
It's one of these housekeeping rules that will never be kept in reality.
Cynic. Then let's pass it. May I ask unanimous consent on this?
It's a good start.
Y'all waiting on me? Oh, it's done. We're good with that.
Okay.
6-0.
Yeah, adequate parking for the handicap.
Well, there are some that are critical, like by library and
Okay, we just need to find out if we're going to let it be a consent. I don't think it's going to be a total consent there. So in keeping with the emails, I think we can't do a consent on that.
Is dangers in front of the fire scene a consent?
I feel is. Does anybody have a problem with the dangers in front of the door?
I revised that extensively because Phil Lepanto sent me, and I believe everybody else, lots of suggestions for improvements.
That is not consent.
So I would like to ask Jack to go to the revision, I think. Or did you catch that?
We didn't decide that that's what we're going to go. We're trying to get out all the consent ones out the way or anything that can be done quicker.
Oh, it's the clean up the Deauville.
There you go.
Yes. Phil had lots of suggestions, which I took almost all of. So if you can go to the revised version. Okay. And perhaps people saw that I said that I'm trying to... one of the uses of the website is that anyone who has any ideas or suggestions for improvements for these things, send them in, and we should try to involve those ideas. You can go to normal view and not have the two columns. Alt V in. And I believe it's the same number. I try to do that, which is 13. There we go.
Looks good to me.
And people have perhaps saw my email saying this came out of the business association. I went on the walkthrough. I further talked with Yasmin.
See, let me offer a suggestion. And this is just me. But when I'm trying to read, I can't listen to you at the same time.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Greg, where's the revision part?
What he has is the revised version. So I asked the commission to allow what is projected on the screen, including the Y, to be considered as the record. It is also in front of you in the printout.
Okay, because that's what I read before I left home. That's why I was wondering where was the thing.
Okay.
Okay.
May I ask unanimous consent?
I'm still adjusting this.
Okay.
You okay with that, Jack?
Do we know why it's taking so long for any progress to be made?
To Dave Wasserman's point that I seldom have primary evidence guilty as charged, but at the Business Association meeting, several people reported that the insurance company refused to pay. And an investigation has gone on, and it has just now been settled where it has been concluded there is no proof that there is arson. Listen to my construction. There is no proof. And therefore, it is moving on to the next stage in which there will be disputes about how much is paid, et cetera. There are engineering reports that the north side of the building is in danger of partial collapse. The DCRA chief engineer says, heck no. He's been an engineer for 25 years, and we had 3-inch rain and some other things, and if it hadn't collapsed, it's not going to.
Okay, well, listen.
There's all this. I'm just giving you a taste of the incredible amount of detail that is going on there. And, of course, the Deauville group of residents are beside themselves.
Okay, but in the meantime, Dee, what does this have to do with them making this thing safe for people to go by?
Well, this resolution would work with the Business Association and Yasmin's group to first of all, light a fire. We're asking the city to light a fire and get to deal with these issues.
Okay.
The chief inspector, who hadn't been out here since the fire, was very upset because he said that the owners have taken 2 or 3 times as much space and done things that they promised not to do.
Okay. I guess my question, I didn't say it correctly. I understand all of this, what you're saying here. I want to know is, because of the finances being stopped and everything, that should not have stopped the people from making this area safe. That's my point.
That's right.
Okay, here's an answer. The chief inspector says that they are giving monthly fines that are substantial. He refused to tell me how much. I've read the DC regs, and they can do more than monthly fines, and so I don't think they're really hitting them. But, and I think that's the main reason why nothing has gone on, is that they just consider these to be a cost of business.
I was under the impression that in the city, when a property owner doesn't make the area safe, then the city will do it and then bill him. So,
such as clean it or lean it or taking nuisance properties, et cetera. That's one of the reasons that I hope we will draw their attention to it and demand that this be given attention, because they have been. What I learned last week is the city has essentially ignored this.
Okay.
Maybe the land will become part of the Republic of Mount Pleasant.
Okay. Do we have further questions or discussion?
No, I move the vote.
All right, everybody. All those in favor? Okay, you got 6-0 in favor. Okay, guys, we got to pump it up.
Well, there's the library. Well, we did the library meeting. I would like something on the... there's also a meeting coming up on the 1600 block of Park Road, and so I'm asking, there's a resolution here on that.
And that would be where?
Since I rearranged things for...
Can we... Are we going to have discussion for number two up there? Can that one be done quickly, or do you guys feel we're going to need discussion on that one?
It's the Fiestas.
The number two up there, the Fiesta?
Yeah, I have quite a few items there.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll go from that then. Okay, so where are we? 12? Is that where you are, G?
No, no. Although I try to make that as innocuous as possible and still show that we are responsive to the business association request for a resolution. So if we could do that, just saying we want a study of it.
Is this number 12?
Yes.
The only comment I have is I would rather we just run an education campaign on bike and pedestrian safety rather than ask somebody else to do something that they are not going to do.
I've talked to some of the street cops. They're willing, with if we give them this resolution, to pump up the enforcement.
Enforcement of what?
Well, when people are driving bikes at high speed and so on, to stop them. Right now, they're not.
I don't think they have any speed restrictions on bikes other than the general cars if they're on the street.
No, it is the officer's discretion to stop people that are driving dangerously.
I never knew bikes had a speed limit.
No, I don't want any anti-bike legislation.
I think that one needs work.
That's not going to be consent.
Yeah. Like,
No, I'm anxious to move on on other things.
What needs to be done? It's getting late.
That's right. That's
what needs to be done?
Okay, I had a list of things. Let me see. Is 8 done? 11? 16?
Okay, you're on another page. You're not working with this right here, right?
No, it's on my copy that I gave.
But we had the same numbers.
And... 16,
we already did number 11 on your list.
Okay.
G.
Now, the next one is that I. The next one that I in order that that I think we should get going soon is the is our relationship with the PSA 301, which is 3. That's left over from over a month ago.
That's one we've been worrying about for a very long time, really.
Yes, and as most of the commissioners have heard, I've been going around talking to groups and asking what they would like to do and their participation in this.
Yeah,
is my summary.
Question, Greg, is do we need to do this tonight?
If it's consent, let's just get it out
it's
of the
not
way.
Consent.
No, I don't say it's consent.
Okay.
What on this list is something that's really got to be done tonight?
Handicap parking?
Stop, Dave.
Dave's being...
Well, Stormy said maybe I misunderstood her, that number 6 is something that she would like to move on.
Okay, this is one that was on a previous, yes, the dangers at Harvard Towers.
Mm-hmm. And since there was a death there, it's...
Well, yes, and that's been part of my concern, is that the resolution doesn't seem to be... I had asked that it be more... substantial in reference to incidents and causes and why the changes recommended would have perhaps prevented that death. Because there wasn't enough substance in that resolution.
Yeah, I think if you remember, G, I said that we needed to redo it a little bit.
Fine. I'm just...
Yeah.
It seemed obvious to me once I read the other resolutions that because they were listing the factors that Stormy and I've heard from other people at Harvard Towers, they say that there's some changes that needed in the administration, or we're going to have...
I would also take out the complaint and make that into a separate resolution, the complaint that nobody responds or follows the law. scale. Because that really waters down the whole argument. It confuses the issue, it's intertwined, and it obfuscates.
Yeah, we shouldn't be complaining about the ANC when we're raising issues about something else. In this case, Harbor Towers and maintenance. I think that needs work.
Okay. How about the arch? All it asks is for a study and a waiving of fees.
Let's see, which one is 14? Yeah, I saw that. That's a great idea. But I thought that we should have a proposal in conjunction with Business Association and Main Street than just ask somebody else to do something, which they aren't going to do.
Well, this is asking the groups to get together and to evaluate and to plan this. And the Business Association folks thought that if the ANC got behind them, that
first things first, are we agreed to take this one up? What's the sense of the commission?
I had a request.
Okay.
We got 5 minutes, according to my watch. If we're going to take it up, we can go ahead.
Well, as I said, I think we ought to have a proposal coming out of Mount Pleasant rather before we shove it up to the mayor.
Well, this is just asking that the...
Let's be orderly about this. Would you like to read the resolution?
Okay. ANC 1D resolves to advise the Office of the Deputy Mayor for Economic Development, the Office of Planning, to assist in the evaluation and planning of a possible arch which would draw shoppers from the 14th and Irving Metro stop area to the commercial corridor of Mount Pleasant. Once a suitable response has been arranged, this assistance should include accelerated processing and waiving of fees. And I ask inclusion of the why statement.
Yes. Is there a second? Okay. Step to the chair.
That's fine. Discussion.
Okay. I just want to say that in this article, when was this? November 11th. That's today. This is what the council decided to slash today. Okay. $2 million for low-rent subsidy programs for 130 families. $3.3 million to cut public libraries to cost the jobs of student librarians and literary specialists. Just two more points. $5.6 million to cut the city's First Housing First program, which they used as an excuse to close Franklin Shelter, okay? And $1.5 million for victims of domestic violence. So I think that before I want to endorse some funding for this, which to me, I understand it will bring people in and help the business community. If the business community has money, which they don't really, maybe if there are some rich people in D.C. that want to donate to it, but I'd rather see the funding go into this stuff. So that's my personal bias, just at this time.
Madam Chair, may I answer that?
Oliver was in my ear first.
Okay.
Greg, would you explain as to how the arch would really bring business into Mount Pleasant?
Well, like I see people on TV, let me say that this is only $10,000. Okay, but now to the, just to clarify that it's not a big grant, the idea of a lot of the merchants that I've talked to say that they talk to their residents, I mean to their customers, they talk to people on the phone who say they have difficulty in maneuvering themselves to Mount Pleasant. So a lighted arch at 16th Street, just a block away, really, a long block from 14th and the Metro stop, over Irving Street, would be visible from people walking in that area and could draw them to Mount Pleasant, and those that want to are looking for Mount Pleasant, it would be far more effective than having some little signs amidst the clutter to say, visit Mount Pleasant.
Jack?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea, but I think this resolution would be perfectly hopeless at getting this thing started. The way to go about this is to come up with a more concrete notion, something better decided than this, and then work it out with Councilmember Graham. See if we get him to endorse it. It just needs work, and this is something where you need to do your homework first before you get the ANC to set up your resolution, because the resolution itself is not going to do it.
Jay?
I have a concrete notion. It's controversial, but why not have Mount Pleasant on the sign at Columbia Heights Metro and have an arrow? Really? I know there's this Columbia Heights ego, you know, centricity versus Mount Pleasant. It's at Shaw, you know, you go to any subway, and why wouldn't that
there
give
a
boost?
There is a long history of Mount Pleasant arrogance involved here.
That was the old fight.
Yeah, but it just seems like a sign would cost $50, and it would boost so much traffic to our area.
They would have to change all the signs.
Every one.
$10,000.
No, $2 million.
I'll just hang a sign up.
$2 million.
Well, I think that they could do something as simple as a another type of sign, but not. It wouldn't be on the, you know, the subway sign, but they could put something else up there. You know, like you go in some communities and they tell you that so and so is this way or whatever. You know, but something like that. But in my opinion, this is also something else that we need to sit down. And I am agreeing that we need to have some kind of proposal and sit down, something to present to them. But I don't know about the Archway thing, but I do feel that we do need to have something to bring them over and whatever. But.
Well, they asked me to submit this. I try to work with groups, and it doesn't commit anything. It just says, let's try to get some planning going and discussion going. And I was in a meeting with the business association people and a representative, a project manager, a program manager for the Deputy Office of Mayor, and it seemed like an indication that that the ANC was interested in supporting this exploration would help a lot. And I don't think it costs us anything. I don't think it commits us to very much. And it would show some solidarity.
Jack?
I think we could meet that need with something a lot more general about working for ideas toward something in Columbia Heights. Perhaps at the interest of Mount Pleasant that would encourage people to come to Mount Pleasant. That's what we're after. I'm thinking perhaps a kiosk at the corner of 14th and Irving with one panel devoted to what's in Mount Pleasant and why should you go there. There are things which we can do, but this is just premature. Talking about an arch, I've got a feeling that a lot of people will look at this and laugh out loud, and we don't need that as a starting point.
So I'm not going to withdraw it, so you've got to vote me down.
I will. I move that it be tabled indefinitely.
I second. My watch is showing that it is now 9:03. If there are no objections,
I object. I want to vote.
Vote on the motion to table.
I ask for a roll call vote so the people I can point to the people that have done the dirty deed.
Oh gee, God, my night was going so good.
Roll call.
It's not even blowing down. It's just being asked to table.
Let's do a show of hands, and the votes will be tabulated.
All those who agree to table this? All those opposed to tabling?
Okay. Announce the vote, please.
Okay. It's 5 for tabling, and 1, Commissioner Edwards not wanting to table it. It wins
to be
tabled.
Move to adjourn.
I second the motion for the meeting to be adjourned.
Yeah. By the way, congratulations to all the election winners.
Adjourned by acclamation at 9:03 p.m.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. Thank you.